Amen. If you can open God's Word, we're going to be in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 down to verse 18. We've been going through Romans for quite some time, and I thought me and Nick, we had a meeting a week or two ago, and we were talking about the Gospels, and he said the Gospels talk about what happened in Christ's life. What, you know, it is Christ. And what we're discussing in Romans, we're discussing what Christ accomplished for us. And so as we are studying through Romans, what Christ has accomplished for us, I wanted us to refocus on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so if you would, read with me in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.'" Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given to me to come and to preach your word. Lord, what a privilege it is to stand before your church. Lord, I pray that you would use your word. Lord, speak through me, Lord, that the truth of your word would be made known and that you would be glorified. And Lord, as we leave here today, that your church would be encouraged and built up and prepared for this next week. Lord, we praise you for what you're doing within our church and in our missions ministry. And Lord, we pray that there would be great and many more things to come from that. And that through the work of that ministry, your name would be glorified, that you would be honored. These things we ask and we pray in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen. So when I read through the Gospel of John, I'm seeing a word that pops up many times, and it's the word witness or bear witness. And that word in the Greek is where we get our word for martyr. It's martia, I believe, is, and I'm probably just botching the pronunciation of that. But it is where we get our word for martyr. But it's the idea of a witness. And this language that is being used throughout John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, is the idea of almost like a courtroom. And so as I was thinking about preaching this sermon, I was thinking of Law and Order. I'm not a very good argumentative person. I never aspired to be a lawyer. I don't even know the proper legal speech. I know some of you in here are, and bless you. But when I think of that, I think of the show, not Law and Order. I think of Psych, which Psych is a comedy, if you're familiar with it. And there's a particular episode where they make fun of Law and Order, and he gets up and he speaks as the lawyer. That's just kind of how I feel up here if you were in my shoes. I feel like Sean Spencer kind of making fun of the courtroom. But that's not what John does here, okay? John here is encouraging people to be a witness of Jesus Christ, to be a witness, to behold who he is, what he has done, and to share the experience that they have spiritually in their life with others. And if I can encourage you here today, is I want to encourage you in this way, to be a witness for Christ. If Christ has given to you his salvation, if he has worked within your life, bear witness of the work that he has done within your life to others around you. But let's start where John starts. John starts by explaining the gospel. He just right out from the very beginning, he explains the gospel, and he starts where everybody should start. He starts by explaining who God is. He explains who God is. Who is Christ? In the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the living Word. That word Logos is actually the Greek word for speaking or speech or conversation. It also can be translated as reasoned discourse or wisdom. But as we look at the Word, John is making he's making the connection here. And he starts in verse 1, and then he connects it to verse 18, which we'll get to in a bit. But he makes this connection in the first three verses, is that he wants us to understand that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Look at Psalm 33. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1. Now look at Psalm 33. Many of you are probably familiar with where I'm going and in this argument, if you would allow that. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the seas as a heap. He puts the depths in the storehouses." And so it's the idea that by the very words of God, everything came to being, right? Genesis 1 through the chapters 1 through 3, everything came as God spoke them into existence. And that's the idea. John is connecting John 1:1, he's connecting that with Genesis 1. Jesus is God. God was in the beginning with God, but not only was he there in the beginning, or that word in the beginning is where we get our idea of origin, right? So from the origin of this earth, Jesus was, but not only was he was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Right? He wasn't an instrument that was like making things, but he literally was God. Without him, there would not be anything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so as you're explaining the gospel to somebody, you always want to start with Jesus is God, right? You want to explain, we want to start on a level playing field that there is a God. He is the creator of the universe. We call this the fear of the Lord. We want to start on the level playing field. It's the beginning of wisdom. Jesus is God. He made all things. There is a God in this universe. And now continue on with me. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so first he explains that Jesus is God, and then next he explains that Jesus is the answer. Right? As our human race, we have a problem. That problem is sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that because of that sin, there is a payment for death. There is a problem, and we're given the solution in Christ Jesus. In verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so there's this idea that there's this light shining in the darkness. And we, as men, as the human race, we are living in the darkness of our sins. And Christ is the life that we need. We are living in our sin. There is a payment for that sin. It is death. And the only way to life is through Jesus Christ. He is the light that is shining to us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so we have this starting of Jesus is God. There is a God. He is the creator of the universe. We have a problem, and the solution is Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus come to do? How is he the solution? Look with me in verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The true light came into the world. And he gives light to everyone. He was in the world, but he was not. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but it did not know him. I thought about this. There's this joke by this Christian comedian, and he says that teenagers are God's punishment to parents because you have something that is made in your own image that denies your own existence. I didn't make that joke. I mean, I like that you laughed at it, but that is the idea here, right? Like, God is the creator of all things. He came down in human form, and as the creator of the universe walking among us, no one even recognizes who he is. Now, there are some that he revealed himself to, right? But to his own he came, and his own did not receive him. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But here's the good news, right? Jesus came. He is the solution. He is the light. He is our life. And to all who do believe, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's not a lineage that connects us to that, that gives us the right to be in this family of God. It is only because of God's grace. It is only because of his mercy that he reaches down to us and that he came to us, right? He humbled himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant. He came to be life to us. What great news that John immediately starts from this. Now, it is argued that John wrote this way because of when he wrote this book. when he wrote this book, it's guesstimated between 70 and 85 AD after Jesus' death, and that it would have been close on the heels of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And so there would have been many people, and this is why I think he doesn't spend, this is my opinion, he doesn't spend much time on man's need for the light, because during this time, the people in Jerusalem, under the siege of the Roman Empire, they would have understood greatly their need for the light. And so as they as the temple of Jerusalem was the sign that the siege was over, the Roman Empire had won, this four-year conflict between Jerusalem and Rome had come to an end, it seems as if John is writing this as a book to show, hey, look, you know you need a need. You know you have a need. You know you need light. You know you need a Savior. What you're doing is not working, but here's the one who is the light. Here's the one who is the life. And it seems like that is the timing of this book of John. Now, I did skip over a portion here. I skipped over verses 6 through 8. Because 6 through 8 just kind of seems like something that is thrown in there, right? Like, we have the gospel. It's spelled out very clearly. God, Jesus is God. There is a creator of this universe. It is Jesus himself. He has come to be the life and light to all men. If we but believe in him, he will save us. But, like, in the middle of that, there's 6 through 8, and it's about John. And this is John the Baptist, not the apostle. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so if our point one could be the gospel, our point two is a witness. John was a man sent from God, right? He had a purpose that was given to him by God. And what was that purpose? He came as a witness. And I spoke about this just before, that word witness, it is where we get our idea of martyrdom, right? It's where the word martyr actually comes from, and it means to be a witness, to see the things that have happened in your life and to share them with others, to see the truth and to convey it to those who don't know, right? Being a witness. And so he has come to be a witness and to bear witness, right? Like, you have, this is the noun, this is the action, this is the verb. So noun and then verb, to bear witness. So not only was he supposed to be something, he actually went about doing it. To bear witness about whom, though? Wasn't about himself. Wasn't about all the good things in the world. It was about Jesus Christ. To bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. Now this, when you read this at first glance, it may seem like, oh, that John took place in this salvation. No, right? Like, he's not the one who's saving them, but he is the one who is proclaiming the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so he is being used as a vessel to share the glory, to share the, as we'll see later on, the fullness of Christ. He bore witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. And John, I believe, puts that in there specifically because there was confusion. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. We see that actually, that John was foretold in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 3. I think John is also, as we're saying, this is a courtroom. He's building the case for Jesus Christ. He's showing, look, this is who Jesus was. It's reasonable. Look at what he did in his life. Look at the life that he has brought to those who have received him. Look at the man who bore witness to Jesus Christ. It was foretold beforehand that there would be someone to foretell the coming of Jesus Christ. That was John. And so he's building this case for Christ. So this is the witness, who he was, the work and his purpose. He came as a witness to bear witness that all through him might believe. But look at our third point here. Right, John is the witness. We see the gospel, the witness. And now we have that verb of bearing witness. And so it changes persons here because the apostle John talks about John the Baptist, what he was coming to do. There's a lot of Johns in here, so I hope I don't lose you. The apostle John speaks about John the Baptist. But then in verse 14, John the apostle begins to bear witness. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's like he's telling them, hey, look, here's the gospel. Here's what God has planned. This is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. It comes all the way now. It is presented to you as light and life in your need and in your circumstances. And I can attest to it myself. And not me, Paul, but John the Apostle, right? I can attest to it myself. I've seen it. Right? He dwelt among us. I've seen him. And we have seen his glory. He was bearing witness to the person of Jesus that he had dwelt. He wasn't just a witness, he was an eyewitness. He had seen his glory, his miracles, the truth, the teachings of Jesus. He had heard them. He had seen them practiced and the fruit of them. The glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only did he see them, not only was he an eyewitness of the person himself, but he understood the very nature of them personally, right? He had experienced this saving power of Jesus Christ. So not only was he a witness to just an event or a person, right? But that person and event, that what they were teaching, what they were saying, it is true. How do I know? Because it's happened here. It's happened here. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And look at this. Then he switches back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" For from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. This fullness, right? From Christ's fullness, his life, his coming, him being the Logos, him coming to the earth, his ministry, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the fullness of Christ. What did it work within us? We have all received what? Grace upon grace. And I think this is a great, verse 17 is a great tie-in to what we have been learning within Romans. For the law was given through Moses, right? They had the law. They were trying to live up to the law, but the law wasn't given to them so that they could live up to it to perfection, because that's impossible. The law was given to them, as we read in Romans 3, to show them their need of a Savior. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so as the law showed the need for a Savior, now we have Christ Jesus, who shows us the way. He shows us the truth. He is the life. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side. This is one of the interesting things that I pointed to back when we were reading verse 1. And then I said that God being the Word is interesting because it seems like verse 18 points back to that. Because as you look at the end of verse 18, he says, "He has made him known." That right there is the word in Greek where we get our word for exegesis. the proper understanding of teaching the word, where it means to literally draw out from. I teach in my discipleship class like an excavator pulling truth from God's word. Jesus is literally exegeting who God is to us through his word. And he did that for them there through his life and ministry. He was revealing to them who God was. Because no one had ever seen God. But he was revealing himself through his word, through his ministry, through his death, and through his resurrection. He was showing them who God was. His grace, his truth, his grace upon grace. And so as we look at this passage, as John is building his case for Jesus Christ, I see here a case to encourage you as believers, and encourage you as the church, to be a witness for Christ. We are called as witnesses, and I see that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We all understand this. This is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. But it doesn't just stop there. There's also Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Turn there real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, again, a very familiar passage, but it uses an interesting word. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power, and of course, he is talking to the apostles here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my, say it with me, witnesses. In Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is that same word, martia, witnesses. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. This is one of my favorite verses. Verses 18. So they called them, this is Peter, when he's being put on trial after preaching about Jesus Christ. So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. What does that sound like? That sounds like being a witness, what I have seen, what I have experienced, what I have heard. I can't help it. I have to tell others because what? I know it is the very truth that they need. I know that they are in darkness and I have the light of Jesus Christ, which is life to them, and they need to know about it. I need to be a witness. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher in the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas and the Galilean rose up in those days, and the census drew and away from the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail, but if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. And when they called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from the house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. They couldn't help it. They had to witness. Look at chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. I'm going to take you through these all. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead." Look at Paul. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians, verse 5. Turn with me there. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 18. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore," Paul uses a different word here, but it's a good one, "we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." It's these men who have witnessed the power of Jesus Christ transforming their life, and they cannot help but tell others about the truth. And it makes specific mention here, and we read it as Peter said, that it was us who we literally saw him. And you may say to me, "Pastor Paul, that's not me. I didn't literally see Jesus. I'm not an apostle, right?" Well, I hoped you would say that. Because look to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And read with me verses 1 through 3. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it." Have you seen the life? Has Jesus given to you new life? "And testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, what he has done within our lives. Now, you may be in here today and you may say, "Paul, that's not me. I don't know if I even believe in what you're talking about yet." Let me start here then. Let me start where John started from the beginning. There is a God, and he truly is the creator of this whole universe. And he made all of us. But as men, we failed through Adam. And through Adam, Adam sinned, and now we all are sinful. and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, who came in the form of man. God himself humbled himself to man, and he did that so that he might be the light and the life to all who look to him, who receive him, who believe on his name. And so this is your call. This is me being a witness of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. He saved me when I was 5 years old because I recognized that without him, I was lost and dying and on my way to hell. And I pray and I hope that you, if this is you, that you understand this as well, that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, that you need the light and the life of men. And now, if you are a believer in here, I ask you, I beg you, be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, your truth of the gospel, what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would work within us, prepare us. Use your word, Lord. Help us to look to your word that you may reveal your truth to us to prepare us for these times when you have called us out to be witnesses for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to convey what you have done within our lives to others, how you have changed us spiritually. Lord, help us. Father, I pray that you would work within our church, that our church would be not only a sending church, but a reaching church, that we would reach the community around us with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These things we ask and we pray in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen.